When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
It's a Thought Leader Thursday here on the Opening Bell. Let's begin with Don Lloyd this morning. Don is SVP of Capital Markets and Foreign Exchange and Derivatives at Associated Bank. Don, good morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Steve, good morning. It's great to be here. Thanks.
We have lots to talk about this morning. I want to begin with what we're seeing play out in Washington. It's the second day of testimony. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell says that the economic growth globally is slowing and that the Fed is ready to cut interest rates.
It has traders on pins and needles right now. The Fed having come from a road of we're going to raise rates to 180-degree turn, and now we're going to probably lower rates, and the economy is starting to show some softness or whatnot, and you know, we're not going to be tightening anymore. Everybody's looking at who's saying what, and what is it, what's the meaning behind the meaning. And today's a perfect example of that, and you know, this testimony is being watched by a lot of people this summer.
The disconnect I find is that here we have, the S&P hits 3,000, the Dow, I mean, record stock, high stock values, jobs, 220,000 jobs created. What's wrong with the economy that we need to cut interest rates?
Well, everybody's looking forward to say, what's going to happen? And you're absolutely right. You know, when you take a look, there's price stability around. There's job creation going on. You know me, I've been a big U.S. bull, for quite a while. There's not another game in the world, and there's not another country in the world, I think, that can match what the U.S. is doing right now. So where are the clouds? You know, why is everybody sort of doom and gloom? Simply because we've been in this economic expansion for 10 years? There's nothing magical about 10 years, and there's nothing to say that it can't continue to go on. Personally, I think a little bit of I won't say a deep recession, but a little bit of an economic cycle, a pullback, would not be unhealthy at this stage. I think it would be real healthy for the economy to go through that, but you're sure not seeing it anywhere. So why does the Fed need to, what are they concerned about? You know, what are they seeing that we're not? I talk to a lot of different companies that are out there in the business that we're in, you know, and they're all talking about the same thing. There's not enough people to hire out there. Their contracts and their business is coming through more than it's ever been before. I don't see any weakness anywhere. So, you know, are we chasing ghosts and shadows or what are we really looking at here? I don't know.
Yeah, Powell talks a lot about the trade dispute with China. Mm-hmm. That's still unresolved. We thought maybe we would have a resolution to that when we sat down with you this morning, but that's still undone. And that's global, impacting things globally, not just with the U.S. and China.
Certainly, that's one of the specters that are out there to be concerned about. Coming out of G20, though, it looked like that whole thing was put on a hiatus and sort of a pause. There's $340 billion worth of tariffs that are going to be out there being affected by tariffs. It looks like that escalation has sort of ceased for now, you know, that everybody's sort of taken a timeout, gone to their neutral corners, not going to correct anything yet, but we're certainly not going to kick it up to the next level. So it's the great pause, if you will. I think the market's sort of like that. You know, I would probably think they'd like it more if these tariffs started to be, dismantled a little bit. But at least we got a pause. So we'll see what happens there, you know, what comes out of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, but there's no doubt that the tariffs over the long run will be a drag on the economy. But that's the longer run. You know, it's certainly not in the next quarter or two, to kick it out a year from now. Let's see what happens.
Right. But the other story that's out there this morning, this is right in your wheelhouse. There's a report that President Trump wants people in his administration to find ways to weaken the dollar. Right in your wheelhouse. What's he doing?
To me, it's amazing that, you know, whether it's the administration commenting on the value of the dollar, the Federal Reserve certainly doesn't comment on the value of the dollar. To me, Trump's certainly looking for a weaker U.S. dollar, stronger foreign currency, so that it's cheaper for countries, those companies outside the United States, to purchase, hopefully, U.S. goods. If the value of the euro, the value of the yen, or the value of whatever foreign currency you're looking at is stronger against the U.S. dollar, it effectively makes our exports cheaper to them. So he's looking for that lift. He's looking for that GDP lift coming from abroad. Mm-hmm. And that's really been the piece that has been missing, I think, from this whole economic expansion over the last 10 years that we've seen. You've heard sort of the U.S. leads things, leads the way, if you will. We haven't seen that happen. The U.S., we have price stability, we have good growth, we have good economic expansion, but you haven't really seen the other economies, the foreign economies, follow suit. Europe is down in a quagmire right now. Asia is down in a quagmire. No one's really cooking out there except perhaps maybe Canada and Australia. Mm-hmm. Other than that, you know, China's at 6%. That's cooled a little bit. Still 6% growth is good growth. But you haven't really seen the other major economies around the globe pick up, you know, their economies and their purchasing. Getting a weaker dollar will make our goods cheaper. Hopefully that will start to ignite a little bit of this. I don't know.
And you mentioned Europe. Back to the monetary policy. Europe has the most accommodative monetary policy around, and it's been that way, but they're still having a struggle.
Lesson to be learned there. I mean, just how much more runway do we have with lower U.S. interest rates and their effect on the economy? You know, we can sustain this for quite some time, but, you know, I often wonder, you know, how much does monetary policy really influence economic expansion and growth? I'm after 40 years of doing this, I'm starting to see a disconnect there that, you know, is monetary policy really the big stick that we think it is?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm there with you. I think there's more under the current than we can see right now with what's happening.
Yeah.
Don, we've all been watching what's going on in Hong Kong. Oh. These protests there. Hong Kong is one of the major market cities of the world. How is this impacting your world and global markets, what's happening?
Yeah, Hong Kong certainly has sort of, you know, captured the front page and hearts and minds of the financial markets globally. Peaceful protests that really started back in March. A little bit of history real fast. Hong Kong was a colony, a British colony back 1840 or something like that. Basically 150 years is what the British had a colony over there. In 1997, they gave up that lease. It reverted back to China with an agreement that nothing would change for the next 50 years or very little would change. And Hong Kong is really known as, Hong Kong-China relationship is really known as one country, two systems. And what that 50-year period did is that nothing can really change. Hong Kong will remain a free capitalistic market. They'll have their own judicial system, their own legislation, their own. And China was really supposed to be hands-off on this. China, I think, might have had different idea and interpretation of that. So, sure, Hong Kong can have free elections, for example, but the Chinese will pick who's going to stand for election. So there's a little bit of a, you know, rubbing up against the socialism versus capitalism type, you know, one country, two system type thing. And the protests started off with this whole idea of extraditing, you know, Hong Kong people in trouble with the law over to China.
Over to China.
And so what happens to this separate judicial system? And that was the law that was coming up. It was presented, you know, to be passed, and the protests began. Now, how does that impact it? And this is what's really fascinating, I think, about it. Hong Kong is one of those countries that has a pegged currency. Now, it's not a hard fixed peg. It floats between 7.75 Hong Kong per dollar and 7.85 Hong Kong per dollar. It's great for the Hong Kong economy to be pegged to something like a U.S. dollar. It's not the only country that's pegged. There are countries, other countries that are pegged to the U.S. dollar. Some are pegged to the euro. But it's very interesting to see this peg because what a small economy like Hong Kong gets is stability in exchange rates, which is great for exporters, importers, international investors, which is what really Hong Kong thrives on. Where it's bad is you basically take U.S. monetary policy that infiltrates Hong Kong. So they have these big swings in inflation, unemployment, price changes in real estate, because they don't have the monetary tools and levers to pull because they're tied to the U.S.'s monetary policy, which becomes a problem when the economy of Hong Kong and the economy of the U.S. get out of sync. when the U.S. monetary policy is such that it's not what Hong Kong really wants or should be doing. That's what comes, that's the negative side of coming with a peg currency. So that's what you have going on there. How has it really impacted the Hong Kong dollar? Because it's in this fixed peg, it's pretty comfortable it's going to remain within this dirty float, if you will. And we've seen the Hong Kong dollar strengthen in that dirty float simply because the cost of carrying short Hong Kong positions, you have to fund those. You have to sit there and fund these and through a mechanism. Interest rates go up in Hong Kong, the funding mechanism comes in, and and people that are short Hong Kong speculating think it's going to go to the weakest point of that floor. They have to buy these things back and fund themselves so they're not overdrawn, which creates a demand for them. So it really is a sort of a foreign exchange 101 lesson that they should be teaching in colleges now on how this exchange rate mechanism works, because it really is fascinating to watch. That's the way I'm looking at it. What does it mean in the global markets? Not a lot, to be honest with you. I mean, it's more political than anything, more geopolitical to see, you know, how much is China going to get involved with Hong Kong and, you know, what's Hong Kong going to do? Because they've got this 50-year period of time.
And more so if there's more volatility, perhaps shutting down the markets there for a day or so, that would that have a big impact globally?
Shouldn't, you know, unless, of course, you're an exporter, importer, or international investor in Hong Kong. It's not going to really affect the Chinese market that much. It's going to affect Hong Kong. And you know, don't get me wrong, you know, Hong Kong, you know, it's a viable market, but it's still a relatively small market compared to the other markets of the world. So it's interesting to watch on what it's doing to the currency movements and the currency exchanges over there in a dirty peg, if you will. But it's really sending a bigger message on how China is going to, you know, extrapolate that out. You know, what's it mean for Taiwan? What's it going to mean for other countries that have a peg to, you know, there's a lot of African countries. There's a lot of Middle Eastern countries that are pegged to the dollar. Some are pegged to the euro. So this whole concept of one country, two systems, it's pretty interesting.
I want to bounce back to Europe real quickly. The situation with Italy and its public debt, they've gone back to the European Union. There's negotiations underway. Why does this feel like it's going to be another Greece?
That's going to be a market mover. That, to me, compare that to a Hong Kong. Hong Kong's interesting to watch. You know, it's sort of a lesson in currency fluctuations. Italy is going to be a market mover, and that's out there on the rise and coming in very, very fast. Second largest debt next to Greece. They are way out of their bands. They're at 130% debt to GDP. They were sort of getting sideways with the European Union, the EC. They were getting sideways with. They were getting ready to be, you know, fines imposed and whatnot, and then they promised to sit there and start to address and improve their deficits, and they sort of dodged that whole thing. I'll believe it when I see it. I don't believe it. Those deficits aren't going to get smaller. We're going to have Greece too, and it's going to be bigger, and it's going to be more severe, and it's going to be another drag on Europe. It's going to create a weaker euro. Italy's going to be a big problem.
And it's something that we should watch very closely in the United States. Our debt problem here is getting worse.
Yeah, and we have to look at, you know, what is our exposure to the European Union, specifically, you know, Italy, and, you know, who's out there that's carrying debt, you know, on the books. I mean, I'd be worried about that. Yeah, any company here in the United States that has exposure to that region, to that area over there, you know, be very careful.
Don, how can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Sure. You can sit there and give me a call directly, or, you know, go to the email site. Just look up associatedbank.com. There's a nice little link on there that says Capital Markets, and every contact you have in there, you can come to me in a number of different ways.
Well, it's great talking with you again. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Steve.
Don Lloyd, Senior Vice President of Capital Markets, Foreign Exchanges, and Derivatives at Associated Bank. Don is our thought leader today, and we do the thought leader conversation every Thursday here on the Opening Bell. Head over to associatedbank.com/thought leadership to learn more about our thought leaders and hear conversations there. And also head to the Opening Bell page on WGNradio.com for more there as well.